we praise your name.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, the psalm says in 145 that you will praise his name forever and ever and ever and ever. That's a long time. That's a long time to be in worship. But there's no better place or person to worship. Church, there's no better place or person to worship than the Savior of your soul. Thank you. Hallelujah. You are 3 days away from the greatest event in history. And you would just, that should just make you want to just bust out, right? You're 3 days away from celebrating on the day that Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, was born. Now, if that doesn't get Cross Point Church excited, I got nothing for you today. You're going to praise him forever and ever. Don't let the world and the commercialization of Christmas wear you out, that when you come into God's house and you don't have anything else to give. You should be so wore out from being in God's house and praising his name that you can't go out in the world and do anything else. You should give here and not out there. You shouldn't be giving out there that you can't give in the house. Because there's only one of those two locations, church, that's going to matter. And that's the praise that you do in the house. That's the praise that you do in the house that's going to matter. 3 days. The countdown begins. The countdown begins. Let's begin by praying in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord God, that the psalmist wrote that we are going to praise your name forever and ever and ever. Lord, I thank you that we have the opportunity to come into the Cross Point Church Worship Center and watch online, and we have this awesome privilege to praise your name. We thank you, Lord God, that you give us this vehicle called prayer, even, that we could go to heaven and talk to you, Lord, one-to-one. Father God, we have so many needs today that so many are still sick in body. Lord God, we pray for them this morning. For those that are watching online that just couldn't make it here today because they're ill, Father, bless them. Lord God, I thank you that those that were in the hospital with procedures this past week, they are present in the house today. They're present watching online that they physically couldn't get here, but they're still engaged in the service at Cross Point. Lord, thank you for that. I thank you, Lord God, that there are churches throughout this community, state, country, and world that are meeting today praising your name. Hallelujah, Lord. What an awesome, awesome opportunity that we have. Father God, I pray the power of your Spirit to move mightily today on the people of Cross Point Church, both in the house and online. Lord God, just pour out everything that you need us to have today, Lord God, and we will receive it with open arms. And we thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Don't you dare sit down until you look at somebody and say, Merry Christmas today. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Now, I'm not sure, folks, but I just heard Santa. I don't know. I'd rather hear Jesus. Right? Hearing somebody sound like Santa. Good morning, Cross Point Church, 3 days away for the greatest event in history. Are you excited? Yeah, I'm excited. Welcome to the Worship Center at Cross Point Church. If you're watching online, thank you so much for joining us. My goodness, there are so many people online. Yes, we saw you this morning, Minneapolis, can't even say that, Minneapolis, Minnesota, right? Saw you, thank you so much. And Pennsylvania, there's so many people watching online. Welcome the orphanage in Uganda. Thank you for joining us this morning. 132 children this morning wrapped around a television set watching Cross Point Church in Canton, Ohio, right? The vacation capital of the world, you know? No other place you'd want to watch than right here, right with us, right? Boy, we have a special program for you tomorrow night, Christmas Eve Eve service. We do Eve Eve because we merged two churches together a few years back, Calvary Church and Bethel Church. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But, you know, when the Cole and I landed at Calvary Church, they didn't have a Christmas Eve service. When we merged over here at Bethel Church, they had Eve Eve service, so it just kind of worked for everybody. So we're still with that tradition of doing an Eve Eve service. Gives you the opportunity to attend another Eve service, maybe if you want to, or do something with your family on Christmas Eve. But we're going to have a great time here tomorrow night. Now, I know what's going to happen tomorrow night, and you certainly want to be here when the worship team does a little bit of a mini concert, and the pastor gets to preach for an hour and a half. I love that. So don't worry about that. You've got nowhere else to go tomorrow night, right? You don't have to wrap presents or anything and get up early on Christmas Day because it's Christmas Eve Eve, right? You can stay in church for hours, right? No one. Thank you. See? You could be at your, where, what would you do? If you're in Cross Point Church on Christmas Eve Eve and the trumpet sounds and Jesus says, it's time to come home. Now you're going to say, I'd rather be here, right? You won't have one credit card bill come January because you will not be here, right? You'll be in heaven going, right? I don't have to pay that bill, right? It'll be great tomorrow night. I just welcome you to come in at 6 o'clock. And as Pastor Mike talked about, we'll do some coffee, cocoa, and cookies afterwards and just sugar up everybody before they go home. It'll be great. Well, it's just great to be in God's house. I love this time of the year, not because of the commercialization, as my wife will tell you, just because it's just great to celebrate Jesus. Just to celebrate Jesus. We are concluding today, church, a four-week series called Divine Moments. Divine Moments, we're going to conclude that today. The Christmas series I preach every year, I do a Christmas series in December, as you probably know. And we're going through that, and we're going to finish that up today. Four divine moments in the scripture about the birth of Jesus Christ. Can't get any better. Right? Can't get any better. Thank you so much for so much feedback for this series and many people that reached out to me this past week. I so appreciate that. But we're going to do a quick review because I want to catch everybody up. It won't be a very long review, but let's catch up on what we've talked about in the last few weeks, okay? Week one, Joseph and his divine obedience. Joseph, Mary's husband, and his divine obedience is what we talked about. Now, he's engaged to Mary, right? We talked about in Jewish first century law, there's a law that says if you get engaged, that's a contract. Unlike today, you have to get married to have that legal contract. Back in the first century, you know, if you just got engaged, you got yourself a contract saying, I am going to marry you. Joseph is in a little bit of a trouble because Mary comes to him one day and says, guess what? I'm pregnant. And that just rattled his world, right? It just rattled him. And one night, an angel appeared before him and said, listen, the baby inside of Mary, you know that's not yours. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and she's with that child. You need to marry her and take her as your wife. The Bible says that Joseph woke up the next morning and did what? Exactly what the angel had instructed him to do. And he married her. He married her. He was divinely obedient. He was divinely obedient. Second week, we talked about the shepherds being divinely moving with no hesitation. Boy, I tell you, we as people hesitate a lot. We are like the people of hesitation, right? We just hesitate. A lot of us just hesitate, your pastor included. The angels are out in the backfield, right, tending to their flocks, and an angel shows up and gives them instructions to go into town to see the newborn king. And right after that, the scriptures talks about the heavenly host showing up and giving praise. And you know, the angels weren't like on the highest part of society. And God reached down and used them. And they didn't hesitate. The Bible says they immediately went into the town. They immediately moved. They hurried, the Bible said, to the village. When they saw the baby Jesus, they went out and did exactly what shepherds should do. They told everybody. And the Bible says they were all amazed and astonished. Everybody they told. Wouldn't you like to have that, folks? That every time you talk to somebody, they're just like amazed. Like, oh my gosh, Pastor Nicole talked to me today, right? Wow. Right? People are just amazed. They had something to say. And even though they weren't the people that were looked at too well during that day, nobody ever questioned them, the Bible says. And why is that? Because God often chooses the unlikely person to do the extraordinary thing. And that's you and I today, folks. You may not be famous, but God's going to reach right down there and use you right where you're at. And the question is, are we going to hesitate or are we going to move out? When God divinely touches us and tells us, God, I've got an assignment for you, are you going to sit there and say, I want more information, I need more proof, I don't know what to do, I'm not going to question it, I'm just going to do it, right? Last week we talked about Mary's divine surrender. Mary had a divine surrender. She had an encounter with the angel Gabriel. And he made this proclamation to her. He says, greetings, you're favored, or favored woman. I taught you last week that that's Greek word being charis, which is favored. Throughout the Old and New Testament, charis, favor, means unmerited favor. You did nothing to deserve it or get it. God just selected you. So church, everybody sitting here today or watching online could have charis favor because God just says it's unmerited. You don't need to do anything. I'm just going to pick you. You could be selected today to do something special. You could be selected 3 days before Christmas. You could walk out of here and God could place cherished favor on your life, unmerited, and just say, I need you to do something. Wouldn't that be something? I have a feeling that some of you have already been selected. And some of us hesitate and we're not moving forward on it. But we've been selected. And Mary was selected. She was going to have a child, King Jesus. And just like many of us do, we're confused, we're disturbed, we didn't understand what was going on, and Mary's just the same. And I taught you that she wasn't confused and disturbed because an angel showed up and she saw the angel. She was confused and disturbed about the information. What? I can't have a child. I've never been with a man. Right? She's starting to try to figure this thing out and try to reason. She questions the angel in Luke 1:34. She says, how will this be? I'm a virgin. I can't have a child. The angel explains to her, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. At that particular time, Mary surrendered and Luke 1:38 says, okay, I am the Lord's servant. What I thought was going to happen, my will in life, what I was going to do and have some children and move forward in life, and we were going to get a little cottage on the edge of town, raise a family, go to work every day, God decided I had cherished favor on my life and changed things. I got selected. I got selected, and she surrendered to God's will. See, church, a lot of us get selected, but we don't surrender. We get selected, and God says, I'm selecting you, but we don't surrender to his will. Some of us fight for that for many, many years, right? Today, we're going to conclude in the title of my message is called Memories. Memories, which will conclude the Christmas series, Memories. As soon as you say that, you start thinking, I know exactly what the word memories means. It means I remember when. Church, there's power in that phrase. There's power in saying, I remember. There's power in your memories. And I'm going to teach you that power today. But first, before I do, I want to give you a quote from probably one of the most famous theologians you have ever heard. And it goes like this. Sometimes you don't know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. Dr. Seuss. Come on, you know Dr. Seuss, right? He said that. Can you believe that? Now, I know he's not a powerful theologian, but I thought it was kind of cool, right? You just don't know the value of the moment until it's a memory. Haven't you ever looked back and said, wow, something happened then? And I didn't realize it at the time, but as I look back and I remember, wow, God was doing something right there and I didn't realize it. Am I the only one, right? Doesn't that happen? That happens. And you look back and say, I had no idea that moment, that divine moment was as big as it turned out to be. It's big. We're going to start in Luke's gospel today, the birth of Jesus, Luke 2, 11 through 12. We have been reading this today in the town of David, has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find that baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. Now remember, folks, this is about four divine moments about the birth of Jesus in the scripture. Joseph, who obeyed the angel, right? The shepherds moved with no hesitation. Mary, who surrendered. But there's this verse that we kind of forget sometimes. It's kind of really easy not to remember. But we need to remember it today because it holds a ton of power for us today. And that verse is in Luke 2:19 when it says, "But Mary treasured all these things and then pondered them in her heart." Mary treasured what? Everything that was going on around her. It says, but there was a lot of activity. The shepherds show up. She has all this thing going on with Joseph and how they ended up to be where they're at. And all this stuff, this chaos, and all this was going on. But in the midst of the moment, she treasured the moment. And then she started to ponder the moment. What did she ponder, church? What did she ponder? See, sometimes you don't know the value of that moment until it becomes a memory. And she starts to ponder the moment. Church, what was she pondering? What was Mary thinking at that moment? Jesus is born. Chaos is in the barn. People coming and going. There's a lot of animals. There's a lot of hay and straw. There's a manger. Things are different, right? And this young girl, maybe 13 or 14 years old, starts to ponder. What is she thinking? Everybody's excited. The shepherds are spreading the word. The people are amazed. The Savior has arrived. But Mary recognized a divine moment. Slow things down to treasure and ponder the moment. What did she treasure? What did she ponder? What was she thinking? Church, I can almost guarantee you this morning, I know what she was thinking and pondering. And I'm going to review that with you today. Because, you know, we're a people that think, ponder, and treasure. And this young girl stopped and slowed everything down and decided, I've got to think some things through. This is a lot to digest. And I read that scripture and I got to think, what is she pondering? And I got a feeling I know an answer for you today, and that's what we're going to talk about. I believe Mary was pondering three things. I think Mary was pondering God's promises from the past, which we'll get to. I think she was pondering the peace that's in the present, in her arms. I think she's thinking about it. And then I think she started thinking about the power in the future. I think she's thinking about the past, present, and future. And we're going to dive into that today. So we're going to talk about God's promises from the past. There, that young child is pondering and treasuring that moment. She had just given birth. She's with farm animals in a barn, in a manger. Her baby's laying there. She picks them up. She has just got all the stuff going on, all the excitement, people coming and going and running and telling people in town what had just happened. You got to go on this outside of town. There's this child. He's the king. He's the Savior. And she starts to think, I got to ponder this. I got to slow things down and start to think, this is getting out of control. I got to ground myself. It doesn't get any more memorable than that. As this young girl decides, goodness, what did I get myself into? Now, obviously, I've never given birth, right? So I really don't understand. And half the people in the worship center and watching online, they've never given birth. But I was in the hospital room with the birth of the kids. So I have some idea. I have some idea of what's going on and what took place. But we were inside a really nice hospital room, and Mary was not. We had modern conveniences, and she did not. For some reason, they do epidurals for pain, and she didn't have one. Sometimes they give anesthesia. She didn't have that. She went it alone. And there's chaos, and she's a new mom. The shepherds take off. She has some time to herself to start to think. As the animals were still in the barn, she begins to ponder, what in the world just happened here? She starts thinking about Bethlehem, prophecy, the prophet Micah, 700 years ago. She starts to remember the past. She starts to remember Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephraim, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me the one who will be the ruler over Israel. Ephraim is the ancient name for Bethlehem. She's pondering this. She's thinking, I remember what the prophet said. And she's sitting there with that child. He's going to be the ruler of the world. And she's holding him in her arms. Mary is remembering. I think she started to remember Joseph coming home from work one day earlier and looking her in the eye and saying, listen, there's going to be a census, and we've got to get up and go into town. And that town's 100 miles away, 10 days. I want to get my facts and figures straight. It's a ways to go, right? The camel wasn't heated. And I'm 9 months pregnant. And you're asking me to go on a trip? And folks, let me tell you, the camel wasn't heated. There was no Marriott on the way on a 10-day journey. There was no Chick-fil-A or Cane's, right? And there was no Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks. And she's remembering, this guy dragged me here, made me come here, right? But look at me now. And she's remembering all. She's remembering the trip and avoiding the bandits and the thieves we talked about a few weeks ago. Going by the mountains to get to the town. She's remembering the past and what brought her to where she's at today. Then she starts to remember Isaiah's prophecy that we read before. Centuries earlier, as she holds baby Jesus, she remembers Isaiah 7:14, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to the son and we'll call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. She's pondering that, holding that child, thinking, God is now with me. God with us. Mary has God now with her. And she's probably pondering, you know, he's always been around. He's always been present in our lives. Whether we allowed him to come into our lives or not, he's always been around. God's always been present. He's always been around. She's pondering God's promises from the past that just arrived today. God promised he would show up. God promised he would be there. God promised a virgin would deliver. God promised, and there she sits in a barn, the recipient of the promises. She's pondering. The second thing she pondered was God's peace in the present. She treasured the moment, and the moment looked different. She pondered Joseph. I'm so glad he's at peace with me and believes that I was not with another man. He believed me. Husbands and wives don't always believe each other. They should. But this guy believed me. When I told him, he believed. He accepted. She's pondering and remembering the peace she has in her heart right now. It's a different peace, church, than what she's had before. It's a divine moment of peace. God's peace in the present, in her arms. You know, the scripture says later, three wise men, the wise men show up with gifts, right? Of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. A little commercial. It always amazed me that there was gold, frankincense, and myrrh, because I understand what they stand for. But, you know, here's this young girl, and these wise men brought gold. And it just got me thinking, God provided financially for the family because somebody showed up and gave them gold. It's worth something today, folks, and it was worth something back then. She wasn't whipping out the Visa or the MasterCard because God had provided somebody to show up later with gold, and the family was provided for. That would give you peace, would it not? That would give you peace. She didn't ask God to provide that way. God just provided that way. She's pondering her life and how God brought her through all the things that he did. And she sits there in peace, pondering that peace. Boy, did God do something for me. Boy, did God bring me through. I cannot believe I made the 10-day journey. I cannot believe I had a child and never was with a man. I cannot believe. I remember. Boy, was that give you some peace. Church, it's just like today, you have to start remembering what God brought you through. You got to start remembering and cherish the moment, the divine moment of the remembering. Because a lot of us have been through a lot, and you're still standing here. You're still sitting here. You're still watching online. I didn't say it was easy. It wasn't easy for Mary, right? But she got through because God's peace showed up. And now she's holding God's peace in her arms. Can you see it? Can you see her in the moment? The peace that would be flooding through her and everything that she was going through at such a young age. A little girl, really, doing big girl things and selected by God. That's a big moment. I believe peace flooded her spirit. Mary never chose that scenario. It's not what she probably wanted. However, she stopped, she paused, she pondered what had just taken place, and she was at peace. For us today, folks, that looks like maybe a loss of a spouse, a loss of a child, loss of a job change, family, financial insecurity, some type of family crisis. In the moment, I think we need to do what Mary did and just stop and treasure the fact that there's a God that cares. And sometimes we feel very distant from that God, but this Christmas time, I'm going to challenge Cross Point Church to stop, treasure the moment, and ponder everything we've been through as individuals, as a church, and start to think, wow, God really did do that. It could have turned out so much different, right? Maybe if we just take some time, a moment to slow down and ponder and look back, or even look with different eyes. I'm wondering if we might just see the presence of God in a way that we have never noticed him before. You know, at the end of every single year, your pastor does a lot of pondering, thinking. Pastor Nicole would tell you that because she hears about it from me all the time. It starts around October and it goes through the first of the year. I think, I ponder, I pray, and I look about everything. I look back, the memories I look back to, and I say to myself, and Pastor Nicole would attest to this, wow, did God bring me through? Wow. Memories are powerful. It gives me great peace to know that your pastor almost passed away many times in the past many years, but God. COVID almost took me, a health condition almost took me so many times, but God. I had a tragic motorcycle accident when I was younger, but God. And then I look about the timeline of church and ministry, and I started to ponder and realize just last month that I am completing my 25th year in ministry. I had no idea. I was credentialed in 1999. Thank you. I was credentialed in 1999, and we're moving into 2025, 25 years. I had ministry before that, but credentialed ministry started in 1999. 25 years. Nicole and I have been in Canton, Ohio. We're pondering. This is going into our 8th year of ministry in Canton, Ohio. In 2007, we launched the Ohio Ministry Network of the Assemblies of God interim minister program that brings ministers into churches when they lose a minister, lose a pastor. We were one of the founding pastors of that program, and Nicole and I served in that program, and we were in a different church almost every year for many years. It brought us to this church in 2013 when it was called Bethel Church. We pastored here, as many of you know, right? You were here. We pastored here. I was a lot younger then. But Nicole was still pretty, right? But we pastored in 2013. In 2018, we landed at Calvary Church on Fulton Road. I'm just like, this is all pondering. I'm treasuring these moments, right? I'm a real-world example of what Mary was pondering at the time and what God promised that he would take me through ministry. He would do these things for me. He said, Pastor, I'm going to do this for you. You're not going to be able to see it. This is years ago, 25 years ago. Just do what you got to do. Be obedient. Get your credentials, and I will see you through. You can't see it yet, but I'm still going to do it. Mary didn't understand it. She couldn't see it. She couldn't fathom it, and God got her there. 2018, Nicole and I landed at Calvary Church up at Fulton Road. Some of you were there. Many of you that are sitting here today, you were there with us. And your pastor had the crazy idea to build a worship center or remodel a worship center. And we did that. Remember that? I'm pondering all this. We turned an old basketball building, gym, into a beautiful worship center. And then God gave me another crazy idea to merge a couple churches. We brought Calvary Church to here and formed Cross Point Church. Then we founded another dinner church and founded another dinner church and adopted the campus in Minerva. We sold off the campus over in Fulton Road. We sold off the property down in Minerva. God was moving. Things were happening. And God's got me all this pondering going on, and I thought, wow, we did so much, and we did so many renovations, and I'm pondering all this in the last couple of months, and I realized that we had spent over $1 million in renovations with Calvary in Bethel here, now Cross Point. $1 million. And we're not even done. We believe we need to remodel the children's areas. And that's what we want to do. And I'm pondering all this. I'm pondering the past. God said, trust me, Pastor. Just trust me. And today I'm pondering his peace. I trusted him. I never saw it. What could be next? Now what? Mary pondered God's power in the future. Mary pondered God's power in the future. After the baby Jesus was born, 40th day, they took him in the town to dedicate him at the temple. It's what you do. You dedicate the baby. Mom and dad go into town. They go into the church building to dedicate baby Jesus. Right? The prophet Simeon was there waiting for them. Great story here. This man knew that that was the Messiah. The Holy Spirit laid on his heart that you will not pass away from this earth until you see the Messiah. And there he was. And he knew that was the Messiah. And he was excited to see the Messiah. I don't know if he was real excited knowing he was going to pass away pretty soon, probably. But he was excited to see the Messiah. And here comes Joseph and Mary. Here comes future power. And he grabbed the baby, and you just could see it, church, and he's holding the baby up, and Mary and Joseph, their arms are raised. They know what's going on here. And the prophet holding the baby, Mary and Joseph are dedicating their child to whom? To God. That is God. They're still doing what tradition and ritual says they have to do, what the law says they have to do. And Simeon's holding the baby, and Luke 2:34 reads like this, "Then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, the baby's mother, 'This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him.'" Now, right then, there's another divine moment that I didn't even touch on. Mary and Joseph could have said, "What? We had no idea. We didn't understand it was going to happen like that. We didn't understand that people were going to oppose him. We're out. We changed our mind." They didn't say that. They didn't change their mind. Is there anybody in the worship center glad they didn't change their mind? Hallelujah. Yes. They could have grabbed him and says, "No, we don't want that. Jesus was destined to cause many to rise and to fall." Now they know that he was sent by God for sure, for sure, for sure. And many know what they will oppose him. But Mary and Joseph still said yes to the power of the future when they left church that day. But the prophet said something that no parents ever want to hear. Luke 2:35, "And a sword will pierce your very soul." What parent wants to hear that, right? You're dedicating a child in the temple 40 days after he was born. And before you leave church on that day, oh, by the way, right? A sword will pierce your very soul. What's going to happen? What possibly could take place? See, there is no way that Mary could have ever known in that divine moment that the world's greatest blessing would be her greatest breaking. The sword is in the mix. What does that mean? She's pondering some future power, but she really doesn't understand what's going to take place. Isn't that us today, church? It's like getting to be a pastor and you don't really know what you're getting yourself into. Right? I just got blessed with the greatest church ever. But I've got a lot of friends that can't say that. They can't say I've got the best, greatest church ever because I don't feel that way. And they ponder something different than what your pastor ponders. Mary walks away and Joseph walk away and they're thinking future power, what's going to happen? But they knew he was a special child. See, in the future, Mary would watch her innocent son suffer and die a tragic death on a wooden cross. But when you know and walked with God like Mary did, and when you've seen his faithfulness in the past and know his peace in the present, you just say, "I got to trust him. I got to trust him with my future." Even though she didn't understand it, she had to trust him and continued to do so. He always has been faithful in my life, referring to God. And because he has always been faithful and because his promises were always true, I can trust him no matter what. That's what she's thinking. A sword, rise, fall, make people rise and fall. I can still trust him. I'm still going to trust him. And sure enough, she could. Because 3 days after she watched him die on that cross, her heavenly Father, our heavenly Father, raised Jesus from the dead. The tomb couldn't hold him. When the stone was rolled away, the Lamb of God who was slain for forgiveness of sins was alive. That's power, church. That's power. She knew, and she pondered, and she treasured power in her arms, even though she didn't understand what it really looked like. The same power you have today. The same unmerited favor that God may want you to do something. Mary is holding in her arms power. Church, I can almost promise you Mary was treasuring her divine moment with Jesus. And she's pondering that someday God's power would be in his future. I just know it. That's what she's pondering. And today, church, Mary's pondering that power of the future is our memory. See, back then she's saying, someday, someday. Today, I say, I remember the scripture said that day. And she's saying someday. Someday, if there's somebody hurting in the future, this boy will be their comforter. She's saying someday, if you're afraid, he'll be your help in a time of trouble. She's holding the power in her arms and saying, someday, if things are just too much or you're just overwhelmed, he'll be your strength. She's saying, someday, if you're hurting because you've lost a relationship, you've lost a spouse, you feel rejected, he'll be your friend. Someday, she said, if you feel financially strapped at Christmas of 2024, he'll be your provider. He'll send you somebody with some gold. He'll deliver you. She said, someday if you're sick, this baby will be your healer. Someday. She held that baby and she said, someday this child will be your savior. And today is someday. Today is someday. And I have memories of looking back to what the scripture says, looking back and pondering our minister, our time, same thing that you do. But Mary said, someday, someday, this child will change the world. Church, Jesus was God's someday future power. Let's sit back and watch what happens.
First night when I heard just a touch. You cause the blind to see. Tonight, let me rock you. Just stay a while with me. And Mary pondered all of these things in her heart.
Someday, right? It's the cry of every parent's heart, right, dear? Someday. Someday is today, folks. For somebody here, I want to pray for you. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I just want to pray with you today. So I'm going to ask you right now, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if there's somebody here that doesn't know the Savior Jesus like we know, I just want to pray with you before we go. I don't want another day to go by. I don't want you to say, well, someday I'll accept Jesus. So if that's you today, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to pray corporate for anyone that raises their hand. So if that's you today, just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. I'm just going to say a corporate prayer as we wind down the service. If that is you and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, thank you so much. Is there anybody else? Thank you so much. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Three of you. Anybody else? Thank you so much. We're going to give you a second. You may not have another day. This might be your day. This is your someday. 3 days from Christmas, you might not get there. Is there anybody else? Just slip your hand up. Father God, Lord God, thank you, Lord, that there's a someday for today. Lord God, I thank you that there are some people that decided to make this a special day. They raised their hand and said, I want that Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. The one that Mary held in her arms and had memories of the past, the peace of the current, that day, and knew that there was power for the future. They want that. Lord God, I thank you. Lord, I pray right now that you bless each and every one of them. For those hands that were raised, the hands that were not, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that people online responded. We are so blessed that so many watched. And Lord God, thank you for those that responded to the call today to raise their hand and say, I want this Jesus. This Jesus that Mary held in her arms, I want him to live in my life, to transform me, to change me. I want to have those memories, those divine moments. I want those for my life. And Lord God, I thank you. I pray, Lord God, that you give them unmerited favor. As they leave the worship center today or turn off their device or their TV, Lord God, I pray, cherish favor upon their life, unmerited. That you select them for special assignments now. That you bring them back to Cross Point Church or bring them back online for the next service. I pray, Lord God, they come tomorrow night for Christmas Eve service because now they are different. Now they understand. And your scripture teaches us that you will continue to reveal yourself inside of them because that's where you now live. Bless them, Lord. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Give them praise today, church. Hallelujah. Stand with me as we close today. This is a great time. It's Christmas. Let's celebrate Christmas one last time before tomorrow night. Merry Christmas, church. Merry Christmas.
Oh, let the angels sing. Oh, and let the sleigh bells ring.